So, going to talk about noun phrases and determiners here. And once we get through this PowerPoint, then we'll go look at the book a little bit more. And as I said, your first home exam is going to be assigned on Thursday. We'll do it then instead of today. But, and I'll push the due date back by a couple days as well. Okay. Let's go then on to noun phrases some more. I'm going to try to make this screen bigger for us so we can see things easier. Okay. So let's do a little bit of a review here. We know that a lexeme is a lexical item. So basically, what you would see in a dictionary, that's what dictionaries are full of, lexical items, also known as words, right? But we want to be a little bit more specific because there's not a good answer to the question, what is a word? There's many good answers, but we want to be more specific with our terminology here. A lexeme is going to be our smallest unit in the meaning system of a language that can be distinguished from other similar units. It's abstract. It can be realized through different forms. And so the lexeme cat, for example, can be realized with cat, the singular, cats, the plural. And the reason we want to do this is because there's not much difference between, say, cat and cats. All the difference is that one of them signifies more than one. Cat like that. Same thing for verbs. If we have the verb, say for example, go, we might write the lexeme, with the all caps or small caps go, and then that would signify the different forms that the verb can take based on person and number agreement. So go and tense as well. Went. Had gone, goes, etc., right? These kinds of things. Because there's not really a difference in meaning between these, the core lexical meaning. There's just a difference. We have to conjugate it different ways based on its environment, based on where it's used. So there's two different types of lexical meaning here. The first is the linguistic meanings of our lexemes are words, their sense, and this is what we find in dictionary definitions are senses. So dictionaries, they'll give you the word something like cat, and then they'll give you different senses for the word cat, and you can use with any word they're going to give you the different senses, the different quote unquote meanings. And then there's the capacity of words or lexemes to point to things outside of language itself. So they're reference. Cat, for example, can point to small four-legged animal that lives with you, that kind of thing. So it points to something that's outside language, points to something in the real world, or occasionally an imaginary thing, something like that, but it's outside language. So if we have, the cat is sitting, the cat is on the table sniffing the coffee. Well, then we're using this cat here, this piece of language to refer to something in the real world. And that's what we call it, the reference. That's getting into a little bit of semantics there, which is going to come up later for us in our next lessons. Next week and later on when we talk about the meanings of phrases and stuff like that. But we'll stick with noun phrases for right now. And we'll think about that there's different types of determiners. You can see module 47 or in the other book, it's called, well, I can't remember what they're called, but basically subsection 47 in Downing and Locke. Or Downing, the third edition is just by Downing. There's different types of determiners, and this is something we already know a little bit of. We know that we have our articles, we have the articles A and we have the, and we have what's called a zero article in English, this is. We have possessive pronouns, we have demonstrative pronouns, quantifiers, all these kinds of things. So we've seen these before. The one that we use with the noun phrase depends on certain things. It depends on whether we're talking about a whether we're using a proper noun or a common noun. It depends on how we want to treat the noun. So do we treat it as countable or non-countable? Think about the difference between, you know, when you order, well, usually coffee is something that's non-countable. It's a fine-grained substance, and you sort of can't really count coffee. But if you're at a cafe, which is something, you know, those things we used to go to back in the before times, then you would order, you know, say if you were there with a friend, you would order two coffees, right? And then you're now you're treating it as accountable because you're ordering basically two cups of coffee. Similar thing for tea, or maybe you take, do you take sugar in your tea? So you take, you know, how many sugars do you take? Sugar is something that's usually uncountable, but can be treated as countable. And what it means is I'm taking two spoonfuls of sugar or two cubes of sugar or something like that. We could also treat things as identifiable or non-identifiable. And so this is going to determine which article we use for identifiable to either the listener or identifiable to both of us, the listener and me, who's giving you the noun phrase. So these are going to determine whether we use one type of determiner over another. So think about, for example, when we talk about identifiable things, I think the previous examples that you got in either English linguistics or exploring grammar were, or maybe introduction to language study were something like, I need a new car, right? Then these are semantically indefinite. I don't, I'm not thinking about one specific car. I just need a new car. Similarly, I need some hot chocolate. I'm not thinking about one specific cup of hot chocolate. I just need generally hot chocolate. I mean, non-identifiable here and semantically indefinite. So some hot chocolate. However, we could have something like the red house on the hill belongs to my friend. Now, this is identifiable in the context. So the context is going to fill in the fact that there's a red house around, or there's a, this red house. And it's also semantically definite. So we're talking about this particular red house. We have a certain house that we're pointing to in the real world. That this noun phrase is referring to. Okay, so then we have what's called unique reference. And unique reference is definite and specific. So this is some going on what we learned in the last slide. Unique reference is for proper nouns, sometimes common nouns that are refused that are used to refer to a single identifiable persons or entities, things like that, like the sun or the moon, but also proper nouns like the queen, proper nouns like, I think the example I gave you, you have to remind me if I gave you this example, but I certainly have it in a Word document in the on the Moodle page for, I believe it's for next class, but think about Barbie is a proper noun, but often can be used to. So proper nouns shouldn't be able to be plural, for example. They should always be definite and specific. But with something like Barbie, Barbie's a toy. Usually there's where there's one Barbie, there's more than one Barbie. And so you talk about different Barbies, right? Then we have generic reference. Generic reference can be both definite and indefinite. Most of it, non-specific. So this is going to be, kind of talking about the typical features of a whole class. So we have an example. They say exercise keeps you healthy. We've got your zero article here because exercise is a mass noun. This is not a countable noun here. Exercise can also be a countable noun because you do different exercises when you go to the gym, for example. But exercise is also treated as a mass noun sometimes. So we're being non-specific here with the type of exercise, for example. And then we've got a specific reference to this, and these are definite. So when we're talking about single entities or a limited number of entities, so when we're narrowing down our class, then we have something like, the young whale came back this morning. Okay, so we're narrowing down this class of all whales to this one particular young whale. So this is going to be treated as definite. So when we want to have a identifiable referent, when we want to use our noun phrase to refer to something in the real world that is identifiable, then we're going to use this definite article. It could be identifiable in different ways through context. So the context surrounding the noun phrase, the context in the rest of the conversation or the text or what's being talked about, then the noun phrase is identifiable from that. This is often hard to do or often hard to visualize when we look at just individual noun phrases or just one sentence because it doesn't have the context around it. Co-text is what we use when we talk about textual context, so anaphora and cataphora, so things coming before or after that fill in the context for the noun phrase there. There could be, excuse me, situational context, so whatever kind of current situation or place that the noun phrase is being used. And this is, I mean, intentionally abstract here. I'm not talking necessarily about, a specific place like, the A building on the University of New Mexico's campus. Instead, I'm talking about the, well, we could use the A building on the University of New Mexico's campus. And what that implies, that is a university building, and all that implies there. Or we could talk about, in the classroom and the kind of sociolinguistic factors involved in language that gets used in the classroom, right? Not just the actual physical space of the classroom, if that makes sense for you there. There's also sociolinguistic factors from other contexts. And then we could use the definite article and have a identifiable referent for the noun phrase based on broader social context. So if there's current things to do with society or the world, some kind of general world knowledge, then the definite article gets used there. So let's take a look at some examples. Here's our new car example. This is what I was talking about. So we're going to say it here as well. Okay. We can split things up to be singular, plural, or mass, or uncountable. Let's start with singular here. I've bought a new car. This is indefinite, but it's specific. So you don't know the new car I've bought, but if I've already bought the car, then there is a specific car that was bought. So this is specific here. It's indefinite because you don't know which one it is. It's not identifiable to you. So we use this indefinite article here. On the other hand, if we say I need a new car, then this is like what we saw earlier with, was it hot chocolate, I think. So now it's non-specific. I'm not referring to a specific car in the real world. Then if we go on to plural, I've got some friends in London. Similar to your two new card. So this is indefinite, but specific. These friends, I've already have these friends. I don't need to make these friends. I've already made these friends. They're indefinite, to you. You don't know who they are. They're my friends in London. but they're specific to me. I know who they are. We could also have, though, I've got friends in London. So this is indefinite. This is also kind of non-specific. I'm not actually pointing out a particular group as I am with this some friends here. Then if we go on to our uncountable or mass nouns, I managed to find some work. Again, this is something that I have done, and it's particular here. A certain job. I'm being specific here. If we haven't managed to find work, now we're being indefinite and non-specific as well. So think about this, because this gets a little bit tricky when we want to look at language in the real world. We could have a non-specific example here. I heard a dog barking this morning. Semantically, indefinite, non-specific. A dog barking this morning. We're treating it here as indefinite and non-specific. Although, of course, there was a certain dog barking there. We can also sometimes things are ambiguous here as well. So she is going to marry a marquis, and then somebody replies, "A marquis? Which marquis?" And the answer, any marquee, right? So it's kind of ambiguous whether it's specific or not. It's specific in the sense that she's going to marry a marquee, but non-specific in the sense that it doesn't matter which marquee it is, it just has to be marquee, right? Like, I'm going to marry a Norwegian girl. I guess potentially any woman from Norway. Then that's who's going to be married. It's ambiguous here with the specificity. There's more examples in our book that we can look at. Sometimes things also don't necessarily kind of match up nicely with our description of specificity here. So from the TV, we've got, I saw the vicar in the Crown last week. And then the response is, what would a vicar be doing there? The first person is being specific here. I saw the vicar in the Crown last week. So it's recoverable from context. The person speaking knows that the person listening knows which vicar is being talked about. However, the person listening answers with, what would a vicar be doing there? So not only the vicar that's under discussion, the one that they can both identify in the real world and treat this specifically, but sort of any old vicar. What would any vicar be doing there? So it's treated non-specific there. So things can be a little bit tricky when we start looking at real language use. Can we do exercise three, or maybe we should go over to the booklet for just a second before we do that, and then spend some time doing exercise three, and I can come visit groups and we can do those things. Sound good? Let's pause the recording here.